You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, spiffy and spectacular sparky spotters. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 15. And of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your stellar and stupendous statistics stalkers.
So meaning like we stalk statistics.
Yeah.
Sure. No, we're stalkers.
Yeah.
We're just plain old stalkers.
No. I sleep in the bushes outside statistics house. Statistics bedroom.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
Woo! Episode 15.
Wow.
Yeah. And apparently, we're bright sparks.
We are bright sparks.
That's what I heard.
According to, we were in the newspaper in the UK. So thank you all who wrote in, gave us the little picture of a clipping. Yeah, apparently we're
the London Metro newspaper.
Yep.
Reviewed our podcast.
Yeah, that was great.
I didn't know that they could listen to podcasts in England.
And you learned something today.
They call podcasts lorries in England.
So episode 15, today's our third all quiz bonanza.
Yeah.
All quiz show today.
Sometimes we just have too many quizzes.
Yeah, just gotta like let off some quiz steam, so to speak.
Exactly. It's our all quiz bonanza, and each of us have prepared our own quiz segment for each other to enjoy and for you guys to enjoy.
Let me stop you right there, Karen. Let me ask you guys a question right now. Get your buzzers ready.
What?
Okay.
That was
pop quiz.
Who is, random question, who is the highest grossing screen actor of all time? As in, his films, when you add all the money they've made together, have made the most money. Sounds like Colin.
Oh!
I feel like we've had this one. Is it Samuel L. Jackson?
It is indeed Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah. Wow.
And this one blew our minds. I think we got it wrong at trivia, right?
Yeah, well, if you think about it, every Star Wars, or the Star Wars prequels, Pulp Fiction, you know, stuff like that, you add it all together, the movies he starred in have made the most money total.
Yeah.
That's true.
That is pretty amazing.
Awesome. Well, okay, that was kind of random. So, well, let's start off our show with our usual random trivia pursuit card segment. Pop quiz hotshot. Barnyard buzzers ready, please.
All right.
Here we have a random card. Blue Wedge Geography. In what city can you visit Rembrandt's Night Watch at the Rijksmuseum? Rijksmuseum?
Rijksmuseum.
Dana.
Is it Amsterdam?
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, Pink Wedge for pop culture. Evil Dead star Bruce Campbell was featured in a series of comedic commercials for what product?
Oh. Huh.
I actually changed the wording because it's very specific in this question, but I thought it was too easy.
Oh, I think you should go to
wrong.
The easy.
Give us the easy, please.
What aftershave?
Oh.
Old Spice?
Correct.
Oh, okay, of course.
That was the only aftershave I could think of.
Of course, that makes sense.
Yellow Wedge. What did a 2001 U.S. Supreme Court ruling let golfer Casey Martin do during tournaments, overriding PGA bylaws?
He was allowed to use a cart to traverse the course.
Correct!
Right.
Of golf cart.
Right. So basically, he had I believe it was a congenital nerve condition, and it was progressive, and so it was really painful for him to walk and stand for long periods.
Oh.
And so, I mean, but the rules of the PGA were, you know, each player must walk the entire course. And so there was a lot of legal wrangling, and basically he was allowed to use the cart and compete, or sort of essentially disability rights.
Purple Wedge, which is not a real magazine. Garden and Gun, Y'all, the magazine of Southern people, All Star Cribs, or Crappy World. Chris?
Garden and Gun.
Incorrect.
I felt so good about that.
Yeah.
The magazine that is actually does not exist is All Star Cribs.
All Star
Cribs. Really?
Which means Garden and Gun exists. Y'all.
I was going to guess
the
y'all.
Magazine of Southern People.
I believe that. Yeah.
And Crappy World.
Huh.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Green Wedge for Science. What animal attacked Napoleon Bonaparte on his wedding night in bed?
Oh. Whoa.
Narwhal.
Yeah. Like,
incorrect.
Lights?
Wow, I don't know. I feel this is a good tale. I don't know.
Oh, Josephine.
Yeah, I didn't say who he was in bed with.
It's actually Josephine's dog.
Oh.
Her dog attacked him. In our last Trivial Pursuit question, what popular 80s video game was the subject of a documentary called The King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters?
Dana,
was
Dana, please.
King Kong.
Oh, incorrect.
What?
Oh.
Donkey Kong.
Oh, no.
So cocky.
Oh.
So who's up first for our all quiz episode?
I think that's me. And I've put together a little quiz with the theme of humble beginnings. Much like us with our own humble beginnings, thanks to many awesome Kickstarter supporters and all of our awesome listener fans. So we try to stay humble. The theme of this quiz is basically people or companies or famous things before they were well known. Get your buzzers ready. This high-profile star had his first role playing gorgeous guy at bar in a 1997 episode of Ally McBeal.
Could be anybody.
High-profile, award-winning TV star on a current popular show. Karen.
John Hamm.
Correct.
Yes.
John Hamm, yes. Wow. Yes. It was an uncredited, apparently, role as gorgeous guy at bar.
Which technically is the role he plays in many scenes.
Indeed.
Mad Men.
Exactly. Right.
Indeed, indeed. The founder of this company got his start making custom piston rings to sell to Toyota, but he lost the contract because it didn't pass their quality standards. Piston rings for Toyota engines.
That sounds dirty.
So he had a contract with Toyota, and his piston rings didn't pass muster, and they canceled his contract.
So did he start a car company?
And he went on to
that?
Continue and founded a very well-known engine
transportation company.
Yes.
Oh.
It was Honda.
Oh.
Mr. Honda?
Yes. Yes. Huh. Yes. Started with a contract early on to sell to Toyota, which was, at the time, you know, Japan's largest automotive maker. And he was making custom piston rings in his machining shop, and they canceled his contract, and he basically had to come back to them later when he had a figured out how to sell one that passed their standards, and then went on to found his own company. They're still the largest manufacturer of motorcycles and all kinds of other things.
Oh,
yeah.
Drama.
Yeah. All right. This Academy Award-nominated actor had his first starring role in the 1970s softcore porn film The Party at Kitty and Studs. Karen.
Sylvester Stallone.
It is Sylvester Stallone. Yes, yes. This is legendary or notorious, depending on how you look at it. Yeah, he was paid $200 for 2 days of work, and this was, you know, he was at his just bottom of the barrel. He was looking for money for anything. And this was, again, you know, shortly thereafter went on to start selling screenplays, and obviously Rocky made him a huge hit. And then they marketed the movie years later.
Was he
naked? No, apparently, like, by today's standards, I guess, it would be PG-13. It was really, there was no actual genitalia or anything hardcore shown. Yeah. This soda got its start during World War II using ingredients the creator himself called the leftovers of leftovers after embargoes prevented the importation of Coca-Cola syrup into Nazi Germany. Ooh, that was close. But Karen had more authority with her click.
I believe it was Fanta.
It is Fanta.
I'm awesome.
Yes, yes, wow. Yes.
Actually, this was one of, a while ago, if you follow us on Good Job Brain, our Twitter account, this was one of our questions.
Oh.
So it turns out Fanta was made out of leftover byproducts from bread or jam.
And secondary ingredients.
There's no fruit.
Right.
No fruit is involved. Maybe from jam. But
well, there was actually, I guess, some juice involved. So the other thing is that it was essentially a subsidiary of Coca-Cola. So it was founded by the Coca-Cola, the Germany representative of the Coca-Cola Corporation. And they couldn't bring in the Coke syrup. So he's like, well, we'll start a new soda. And it was the first soda that Coke made that was not Coke. For years and years, it was Coca-Cola, and Fanta was their first non-Coca-Cola brand. So.
Wow.
Interesting.
Before becoming famous under a different name, this singing duo released several mostly unsuccessful singles under the name Caesar and Cleo.
Sonny and Cher.
It is Sonny and Cher. Huh.
That I just knew.
Yeah, I did not know that he was 11 years older than she is.
Whoa.
They met when she was 16 and he was 27. That's... Yes, working as a record producer. But no problem. Hey, no judgments.
Yeah.
All right, last.
Okay, Jesse's Tramps and Thieves was an autobiography. Yeah. That's fine.
Last question. Cecil John Rhodes is a famous man known for many things.
I have no idea who he is. Okay.
You know the things that that are named after him. He is the Rhodes in the Rhodes Scholarship.
Oh, okay.
He is the Rhodes after whom Rhodesia is named. He was a big figure in the colonial movement there. So, all right. Known for a lot of things and a very famous big mover and shaker. He made his fortune founding a company after he started out renting water pumps to miners during the diamond rush in South Africa. Mm-hmm. What company was this? Chris.
he knows it.
20 minutes
Diamond
later.
Rush. Diamond Rush in South Africa.
Was it De Beers?
It was De Beers.
Oh, that's my guess.
Yeah, this is amazing. I mean, I had no idea he had done all these things in his life that he founded De Beers.
I was gonna say it, but then I figured it was founded by someone named, I don't know, De Beers.
Right. Yeah. Well, so here's the story. So he saw the ongoing rush and he was selling water pumps, and he basically had the foresight to start buying up as many small lots as he could.
Yeah.
And he got some funding with some business partners, but he essentially bought a plot of land from the De Beers brothers and went on to have a lot of, you know, huge discoveries on his territory. But the De Beers family had nothing to do with the company itself. It was just named after their land.
They always say the people who made the money during the gold rush weren't the people panning for gold. It was the guys selling the pickaxes.
So he managed to cover both ends.
Sold the water pumps.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And the land.
All right. That's it.
Awesome. Humble beginnings. Who's next?
I'll go next. And the name of my quiz is I Totally Agree. So the answers are all positive.
I like it.
Okay, all right.
I like it.
Okay, and the Tony Orlando and Dawn song, Knock Three Times. Knocking three times on the ceiling is positive, but what does it mean specifically?
If you love me? Is that it?
Yeah, if you want me.
If you want me.
I was going to say, it was something more sexual.
I will give myself half credit.
Sure.
That's so honest of you.
Okay, which prog rock band sang Owner of a Lonely Heart? Colin.
That was Yes.
Yep. According to the Flight of the Conchords song Robots, in the year 2000, what two things do robots say to signal agreement?
Oh.
Karen.
Affirmative.
Uh-huh.
Affirmative. I'm singing the song.
I know.
Positive.
Nope.
I'm blanking.
It's also yes.
Oh.
You said we say affirmative. Yes. Yes, we say affirmative. In Boolean logic, what number means true?
One.
Yes.
Yes. Affirmative.
Okay. Yes. Affirmative.
0 and 1.
What CBS sitcom starring Anthony Clark, John Louisa Kelly, Mike O'Malley, and Liza Snyder aired between 2000 and 2006.
Yes, Dear.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
What two-word term is used in improv to describe the technique where one actor accepts and builds upon what another actor just improvised in the scene?
Yes, and.
What 2008 movie starred Jim Carrey and Zooey Deschanel?
Oh, crap.
Karen.
Yes, Man.
Yep. And what TLC show did the staff of Kleinfeld in New York City help brides-to-be find the perfect wedding dress? Oh, that was very close.
Can we all say it at the exact same time? 1, 2, 3.
Say yes to the dress.
Good job.
Yay.
Why do you guys
We're
know
all
this
winners.
Hey. Engaged?
Yeah, I have a wife.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I know I already did a very short quiz, but now I have a regular length quiz. So let me ask you guys this question. According to the Girl Scouts of America, what is the second most popular Girl Scout cookie? Because I'm not going to ask you what the first most popular one is. What is the second most popular Girl Scout? Sounds kind of like Karen.
Samoas.
Indeed.
Yes! Oh,
Samoas. Wow, that's not what I was going to say.
You might also know them in your region as Caramel Delights.
Yeah.
Why Do Girl Scout cookies have different names? Does anybody want to actually guess at this one?
Wait, Samoas are the ones that are like the ones with the holes and they have caramel
yeah.
in
them. They have caramel, yeah, they have holes in them and caramel and coconut, yeah. Does so it, Girl Scout cookies have different names because there are actually two licensed bakeries and
right,
they make
right.
their own cookie.
They're the regional, right?
Exactly, yeah. yeah. So the names Thin Mints and Trefoils are owned by the Girl Scouts of America, and all the other names for cookies are actually picked by the bakeries, which are Little Brownie Bakeries and ABC Bakers. And the Girl Scout troop gets to pick their own cookie bakery, and they get to set the price of the cookies themselves based on local markets, etc., how much money they need to make. Here's a random, another random question. Kirstie Alley played bar manager Rebecca Howe on the popular sitcom Cheers.
True.
True.
What actress did she replace? Dana.
Shelley Long.
Yeah, I buzzed in first.
What do Girl Scouts and Shelley Long have in common? Karen.
Yes! Shelley Long was in the movie Troop Beverly Hills.
Yes, indeed.
That was one of my favorites.
That is such a good movie.
Today's quiz is about the movie Troop Beverly Hills.
Oh,
yes!
Wow. Okay. All okay. right.
The popular child actress who played Shelley Long's fictional daughter in that film now has a successful music career. Mm-hmm. Who is she? Everyone at the same time.
Jenny Lewis.
Okay. All right, okay. Shelley Long's fictional ex-husband in that film was played by a veteran actor best known for playing the role of Hayden Fox on what sitcom? Dana.
Coach.
Yes, Coach.
Craig T. Nelson.
One of the Wilderness Girls was played by Emily Shulman, an actress best known for her role in a TV series whose main character's full name was voice input child identicant.
Oh, wait. What
is the name of the show? Colin.
That was a small wonder.
Yeah. Indeed. Yes, the character was known popularly as V-I-C-I or Vicky. Emily Shulman played next door neighbor.
I'm so excited. Yeah.
We're so excited.
Next door neighbor Harriet.
No one, I'm so no excited one. There is a okay. trivia segment about this movie that I grew up with. And I still watch if it's on TV.
Well, I think we've all seen this movie a million times on like basic cable. Another Wilderness Girl was played by an actress who would go on to star in the series Life Goes On and play a recurring character mm-hmm. on ER, who is the actress. Dana.
Kelly Martin.
Kelly Martin, yes.
Ah. Wow.
Yep, played Becca Thatcher and played Lucy Knight on ER. Hmm. Yeah. After later roles in Spy Kids and Sin City, Wilderness Girl Carla Gugino is now mm-hmm. one of the top grossing...
Oh my god, she was in True Beverly Hills!
Yeah, she was one of the kids, and she's now one of the top grossing female stars of the last 20 years, according to Wikipedia.
She's in the movie, I believe her parents were in Monte Carlo, and they wanted to give her a birthday.
Yes, exactly.
That's crazy! Crazy.
In what comic book movie did Carla Gugino play Sally Jupiter? Karen.
The Watchman.
The Watchman, yes. Or just Watchman. Mary Gross played Shelley Long's troop co-leader. She was on SNL for 5 years, mm-hmm. but I most remember her from a comedy film from the 80s about the FBI, where she starred alongside Rebecca De Mornay. What was the name of that movie?
Oh, man. Oh, goodness.
I really liked that movie, too. What was it?
She was the one who studied all the time. Oh, yeah. Rebecca De Mornay kind of slacked off.
Yeah, yeah.
The movie was called Feds.
Feds. That's right.
Another basic cable classic. Yeah. Yes, totally. One of the girls from the rival troupe in the movie would go on to write an autobiography called Storytelling. Who? Karen.
Tori Spelling.
Tori Spelling, indeed. Yes. Story was of course spelled with an I. Yes, evil troop members. Several celebrities made cameos in this film. Let's do the lightning round. Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous host.
Robin Leach.
Chong's buddy. Colin.
Cheech Marin.
Yes. Iconic Mouseketeer. Colin again.
Annette Funicello.
Indeed.
What?
I don't remember.
Another question about a celebrity cameo. Ferdinand Lewis Alcindor Jr. made an appearance in this film. Under what name was he credited?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Indeed, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're all parents. Yeah. Most of them are parents. Yep. Oh.
Finally, you remember Velda, the evil wilderness girl's leader of the rival troop who got her comeuppance? Troop Beverly Hills was the final movie that she ever appeared in. Oh. She actually went on after this to be one of the highest grossing female film directors ever.
Oh.
What smash hit 1995 comedy about an odd family reunited Betty Thomas as director with Shelley Long as lead actress? Colin.
Brady Bunch?
The Brady Bunch.
Oh!
Her highest grossing film was actually Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Squeakquel, which is the highest grossing film directed by a woman.
No! Really?
Yeah, was directed by Betty Thomas, a.k.a. Velda, from,
the evil
troop leader from True Beverly Hills.
Worried about working at Kmart.
Wow. And that is our True Beverly Hills.
Wow, so if that's one of your all-time favorite movies, like, yes! Karen, you just geeked out hard on this one.
Growing up in Asia, I didn't watch a lot of American movies, but I remember I had a VHS tape of this movie. Oh, I was like, America rocks!
So you just wore it out. Okay, I got a little bit of a different quiz here. I'm trying to mix it up for you guys, try a new format. So I had a lot of fun putting this one together. So this one's about, you know how in Pub Quiz sometimes we'll have a quiz where we get the first lines of song lyrics. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what song is this? And, you know, we always kind of joke about how it's, oh, he'll mangle the pronunciation or the cadence is wrong. And so I'm like, all right, let's take this to the crazy extreme. So I want you guys to imagine if all of these opening lines for songs were read by a computerized AI voice.
Okay.
So I've put together a collection of songs here, opening lines of popular songs. We'll start out with an easy one, just so you guys
spoken
can
by
kind
a
of,
computer.
This is spoken by a computer voice, and I want to emphasize that I intentionally did not find the highest quality voice I could. I wanted like what you imagine of like the 1990s computer voice to sound like.
So it's not 80s, Siri.
80s robot.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Exactly. So here we'll start off with an easy one, just to sort of calibrate here. So this popular 90s song.
When you were here before, couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry.
I believe that was Dana.
Creep.
Yes, it is Creep by Radiohead.
So scary.
I know. All right. So we'll try to get a little bit more complicated here, but you guys get the angle here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, here we go. Next one.
Dick, if you will, the picture of you and I engaged in a kiss. The sweat of your body covers me. Can you, my darling, can you picture this?
Dana.
When doves cry.
It is. Yeah. It is When Doves Cry by Prince.
Yeah.
The sweat of your body covers me. Alright, here we go. Here's the next one.
Look around. Everywhere you turn is heartache. It's everywhere that you go. You try everything you can to escape the pain of life that you know.
I believe that was Chris. He's running.
Vogue.
It is Vogue. By Madonna.
I really had to work through the whole thing to get to the chorus.
It is amazing. Like in isolation, the lyrics seem so dark. Right. You're like, some goth song. I don't know.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Here's the next one.
Backstroke lover always hide underneath the covers. Till I talk to your daddy, he said you ain't seen nothing till you're down on a muffin. Then you're sure to be a change in your ways.
What
the? It cracks me up every time.
I couldn't even decipher that.
You want one more time again?
One more time.
It had some weird pronunciations there. It can't say the word neath. That's the word.
Okay.
All right.
Backstroke lover always hide underneath the covers. Till I talk to your daddy, he said you ain't seen nothing till you're down on a muffin. Then you're sure to be a change in your ways.
Okay. Anyone got a guess?
Dana? Is it Walk This Way?
It is Walk This Way. Backstroke lover always hide underneath the covers.
Yeah.
And it can't all nave. All right, here we go.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess. You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin'. And now someone else is getting all your best.
That was These Boots Are Made for
that
Walking.
That was These Boots Are Made
by
for
Nancy Sinatra.
I like the way they did the phrase.
You've been messin' where you shouldn't have been
a messin'. Yeah.
Alright, last one here, and I hope this one will be easy.
In the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey. Butane in my veins. So I'm out to cut the junkie. With the plastic eyeballs, spray paint the vegetables. Dog food stalls with the beefcake pantyhose.
That was Dana.
It's Beck.
It is Loser. By Beck, yes.
I'll
yes.
start with Creep and with Loser.
Ooh, I like that. Good job. That was so much fun to put together.
That was awesome. That was awesome. Oh, my God.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, it is my turn. And of course, you guys know it is summertime for us. Well, at least for our hemisphere. It is summertime, and one of our favorite summertime treats is ice cream. Mm-hmm. So this quiz will be about ice cream.
All right.
Your love, it's better than ice cream. Better than anything else that I've tried.
Yay, we all scream for ice cream. So I'm gonna start off with the hard one. So within the ice cream or the frozen treat world, there's a lot of classification involved. Uh-huh. What is the difference between sorbet, sherbet, frozen yogurt, gelato, frozen custard, and ice cream?
So we have to...
You guys can talk it out.
Okay, well, so I know custard has egg, right? Custard has egg in it. Mm-hmm. And I think the difference between sorbet and sherbet is dairy, right? One has dairy, one is just fruit. What are the other ones in there?
Sorbet, sherbet, frozen yogurt, gelato, frozen custard, and ice cream.
Well, gelato has gelatin in it, right? Doesn't it? Or no?
Does it have egg in it?
What is, yeah.
Gelato has, is it made with milk or like is it made with something that's not cream?
Okay, let's work down. So let's, right, let's right. start.
Why don't you tell us?
Start with, yeah.
So sorbet, correct. Sorbet is usually made out of fruit puree and has no dairy.
Okay.
Sherbet has some dairy.
Okay.
So between 1% to 2% milk fat. Frozen yogurt obviously is made out of yogurt or okay, anything right. cultured dairy. And frozen custard is like ice cream, but it has egg yolk.
Okay, right. That's what I thought. Okay.
In it. At least 1.4% egg yolk. And gelato, which is basically the Italian word for ice cream, has a lower milk fat content than normal ice cream.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's
good. Oh, so same ingredients as ice cream, but just different proportions?
Yeah, different.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
In the crazy world of American food industry, there's so many classifications. So like you can't call this between 1% to 2% milk fat. It gets really crazy, but that's pretty much the kind of common belief of all these different types of frozen treats. Okay. And so speaking of gelato, there's actually a secret among aficionados to determine the quality of gelato from different gelato shops. And all you have to do is try one particular flavor used as a gauge to benchmark, you know, to know if a place is legit, if they make good gelato. What flavor is it? Dana.
Pistachio.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, I've because heard that too, but I don't know why.
Because
why
pistachios
that?
Are really expensive. And so if they actually use real pistachios in the gelato, you know that they're spending on the high quality ingredients versus just like making a green.
Like an oil or like a pistachio
cream.
Oil or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Or whatever.
So, well, a lot of the ice cream or gelato places, like Chris said, if it's a legit place, they will use real pistachios, which is one of the world's most expensive flavoring and nuts.
Right. Right.
And so a lot of shops compensate. They use some pistachios and they use a lot of almonds. Almonds is cheaper and it's like it just has a kind of neutral nutty flavor.
Right, right.
And then they kind of pump the ice cream with some coloring. So it has a weird like fake, well not fake, but you know, not good pistachio gelato has like a weird pale mint green color, which is obviously from artificial food coloring. Whereas real pistachio ice cream has kind of like a muddy green color.
The pistachio litmus test.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. It's the benchmark. All right. So condiments is very, very popular with ice cream. And then comes sundaes. So the origin of the sundae has been hotly contested throughout history. Some people, there is a theory that, you know, the sundae arose from the American blue laws against sundae consumption of ice cream or ice cream soda. So they kind of combined. They just made this new concoction. It's like, well, we can't.
It's in a dish, and it's got food and bananas on it.
Yeah, it's not really a soda, but yeah. So soda jerks and druggists back in the day end up producing sundaes for people to eat on Sunday.
This is one story. This is one people debate. Yeah, okay.
Common belief story. So here I have a few questions about sauces and condiments we put on Sundays. What are the three ingredients in a turtle sundae? Chris?
Pecans, caramel, and chocolate.
Correct. Caramel, fudge, and pecans.
Yeah.
Like the candy.
The turtle candy.
Yep.
Right. If they give you walnuts, send it back. You know, this is not a turtle.
Right. So if they give you pistachios, you're in the money.
Speaking of walnuts, when someone asks for wet walnuts on their sundae, what are they asking for?
Candied walnuts?
Walnuts and what? Wet walnuts.
Oh, honey?
Incorrect.
Condensed milk?
Incorrect.
Is this legal in...
I think it's legal in 37 states.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wet walnuts refer to walnuts and maple syrup.
Oh.
Which actually sounds very tasty.
It does sound pretty good.
There's also the peach Melba sundae. Peach Melba, a very famous dessert. What actually is Melba sauce?
Oh, I have no idea.
I don't know.
It's any sauce... if it's made by a woman named Melba.
Yeah. It's Melba's sauce.
Right. Sorry.
Melba style sauce.
Right.
Melba sauce is actually raspberry sauce.
Okay.
So peach Melba is peaches and raspberry sauce.
Yeah. So peach Melba, the dessert, comes with like a raspberry coulis. Speaking of raspberry, raspberry is made up of dense clusters of tiny little globes and globules. What are those globes actually called?
Oh, I just read this. I was reading about strawberries, too. Oh, shoot.
Oh, call back brood sacks.
It is not brood sack. That'd be very scary.
Oh, I cannot remember.
They're called droplets.
Oh, that's right. That's really? Right.
Huh. Droplets.
So, right. Droplets.
How do you spell?
D-R-U-P-E-L-E-T-S. Droplets.
Okay. And so those are the little...
The little spheres.
Right.
I mean, because like each one is like it's a little mini fruit, essentially. Mm. Like the berry is a cluster of many little mini fruits or droplets.
And each raspberry contains average between like 80 to 100 droplets. So Vermont ice cream brand Ben & Jerry's are not only famous for their crazy flavors, they also have very silly and punny names. Right. A lot of their names
Cherry Garcia.
Exactly. And they also have partnerships with celebrities and bands when coming up with new flavors, like Cherry Garcia, named after Jerry Garcia from the Grateful Dead. And like also Fish Food from the band Fish. And Stephen Colbert also has a flavor called Americone Dream, which is ice cream with waffle cones in
it.
So here, this will be interesting. I will be reading you the description of the flavor, and I'll give you the pop culture reference. And I want you guys to work backwards and figure out what the correct name of the official Ben & Jerry ice cream flavor is.
Okay. All right.
So these are all puns, so hopefully you'll be able to figure it out. This is a chocolate ice cream with fudge chunks and toasted marshmallow and graham cracker swirls.
Okay.
And the pop culture reference is the Brady Bunch.
Oh. What is it again? It's
chocolate ice cream with fudge chunks and toasted marshmallow and graham cracker swirls. One of the ingredients is a clue. Fudge chunks, toasted marshmallows.
Marshmallow.
Correct!
Yes.
Very, very good.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
Another one. Vanilla ice cream with fudge brownies and raspberry swirls. Named after a number one hit single in the UK by Queen.
Oh. Bohemian Raspberry.
Yes.
Oh, that makes sense.
Very good.
I want that. That sounds really good, actually.
Back in Good Job Brain, episode 3, in our weird food episode, we talked about that. Actually, this is like a lot of people's favorite facts from our show is castoreum, which we casually call anal beaver juice, which is the secretion of juice from a beaver's butt.
We correctly call it that. Yeah, castoreum is the, you know, the sort of nice way of saying it. Yeah.
So anal beaver juice is used to enhance vanilla and raspberry flavors. So say if you were eating a bright red raspberry ice cream, maybe flavored with anal beaver juice, there might be another animal involved. And this animal is called a carmine beetle. Mm-hmm. What is the carmine beetle used in foods?
It's used for red coloring, right?
Correct.
They grind up the shell, or they grind up some part of it. It's the red coloring, or
technically, carmine, the dye, can be prepared by boiling dried insects in water to extract the carminic acid. Okay. So, if you're eating raspberry ice cream, you're eating two weird animals products:
bugs and beaver butts.
Bugs and beaver butts. And that was the last question. That was my ice cream quiz.
That's good.
Nice.
Always end my quiz with a gross fact. So. There you go.
Well, before we wrap this up, this All Quiz Bonanza episode, I have one final quiz for you quizzical quizzers. So let me ask you this question.
I hope it's another Troop Beverly Hills quiz.
Troop Beverly Hills, round 2.
Deep cuts.
That's right.
Before he created Mickey Mouse, Walt Disney created another popular anthropomorphic silent cartoon star that was distributed by Universal Pictures starting in the 1920s. What was his name? Karen.
Oswald.
Full name, please.
Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
Yes.
Oh, Oswald Lucky. I would not have gotten the Lucky. I was going to say Oswald the Rabbit. Wow.
Oswald was actually co-created by the same longtime Disney artist who co-created Mickey Mouse. His first name, an odd first name, has two letters. What is his name?
Huh.
An odd first
long
name.
Time you have heard this name, you have seen this name, long time Disney collaborator, co-creator of Mickey Mouse. He was the artist who basically like sketched out Mickey Mouse for Disney. The guy's name, you've seen this before, his name is Ub Iwerks, UbIwerks. You've seen this on cartoons a million times, Disney cartoons.
His name is Ub Iwerks.
Yes.
Obadiah.
You know, it's actually short for the name is UBBE, but he always went by the shortened version, UB.
Huh.
Yeah, Iwerks. Although the rights to Oswald the Lucky Rabbit were for many decades held by Universal, Disney reacquired them in 2006. What did Disney give up to Universal in exchange? Colin.
Roger Rabbit?
No.
Oh.
I was saying there might be a nice poetic balance there.
I'm gonna guess Disney probably opened up their vaults of failed or unaired cartoons.
No. In exchange for the rights to Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, which were held by Universal, Disney, this is true, released sportscaster Al Michaels from his contract, allowing him to go from Disney-owned, like ABC, ESPN, NBC, Universal.
That's a funny trade.
That was the trade. Al Michaels, at the time, said of the deal, "I'm going to be a trivia answer someday."
Yes. That's a
good...
Wow! That was it. That's straight really up deal. It. Yeah. Disney produced 26 Oswald the Lucky Rabbit cartoons. Mm-hmm. 12 of them are lost. There are no known prints existing. Mm. However, last year, a print of Hungry Hobos, a film that was thought to be lost, was recently discovered in what country? Colin.
Russia.
It was actually Britain. It was discovered in a film archive in Britain, and it was auctioned by Bonham's Auction House. It was sold to an anonymous bidder for $31,250.
Disney didn't take it?
So on a personal note, earlier this year, I believe I was the first person to report that, in fact, the anonymous bidder had been the Walt Disney Company.
Oh.
They had purchased back Hungry Hobos.
That actually seems rather cheap, I have to say.
I know, I was just going to say.
And I only found this out when I was researching this piece and went to Wikipedia and saw the article that I had written.
Being cited.
about the upcoming video game Epic Mickey 2, which is related to Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. For the upcoming video game Epic Mickey 2, Oswald will have a voice. He was a silent film star. And in the upcoming video game, he will have a voice for the first time in any medium. The man who is providing this voice is a voice acting legend. He started out as Fred Jones on Scooby-Doo. His voices include Dr. Claw and Inspector Gadget, Nibbler in Futurama, and Santa's little helper on The Simpsons. And his head has actually been in a jar on an episode of Futurama. Do we know the name of this legendary voice actor? Karen.
Billy West.
No.
What? He's legendary.
No. He was not Fred Jones in the 60s.
I do know this.
Was he Optimus Prime?
Was it Frank Welker?
It was indeed Frank Welker.
Yes.
What does all this have to do with everything? Although Samuel L. Jackson is indeed the highest grossing screen actor, if you expand it to include voice actors, the highest grossing actor is Frank Welker. He has done voice work on films like The Lion King and other animated films, but also for Independence Day, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Star Trek III.
Right.
He is, in fact, the highest grossing movie actor of all time. Samuel L. Jackson is simply the highest grossing screen actor of all time.
That's great. All comes full circle. And that's the end of our all quiz bonanza number 3. Thank you guys for joining me, and thank you guys, the listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned a lot about Troop Beverly Hills, which is my favorite.
That's the thing with Troop Beverly Hills. It is this crazy confluence of all of these very, very, very successful people all kind of meeting in this one very weird movie.
Well, great movie.
Awesome. And you can find us on Zune Marketplace, on iTunes, on Stitcher, and on our website, which is www.goodjobbrain.com. And we'll see you guys next week. Yeah.
Bye.
I said the hip hop, the hippie to the hip hip hop, yeah, don't stop the rockin' to the bang bang boogie, set up jumps the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie, the beat.
Spend less time staying in the know about all things gaming and more time actually watching and playing what you want with the IGN Daily Update podcast. All you need is a few minutes to hear the latest from IGN on the world of video games, movies, and television with news, previews, and reviews. So listen and subscribe to the IGN Daily Update wherever you get your podcasts. That's the IGN Daily Update wherever you get your podcasts.